How much should we play with our pets? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. How much should we play with our pets? Now, there are some people who have nothing to do all day long but to play with their pets. They don't have any job, they don't have any responsibilities, they may choose to do something around the house or in the garden or whatever, but they're just generally free spirits. And do they play with their pets? No. They don't play with their pets. Their pets come and play with them, but they don't play with their pets. How often do they take their pet out for a walk? How often do they take their pet for a drive? And just say, isn't this beautiful? Showing the pet the park and everything from the car. And Caesar Milan, he would say that the pets need at least a half an hour to an hour, 45 minutes at least, to walk every day. Well, now, Caesar is really speaking about human beings. The pets don't need that. The pets enjoy it, but they don't need it. A pet is designed by the great designer to be happy with little or a lot. Animals are designed to go quickly and run and play and jump. Have you ever noticed a cat? A cat will not like to go on a walk. How many cats do you see people take on a walk? But not very many. And do the cats need to go on a walk? No. Are the cats alert when they need to be? Well, what's the only devastating thing that happens to a cat? The only devastating thing that happens to a cat or a dog or a person is that they overeat. And when you overeat, then you have more food in your system, more energy than you need. And so you want to wear it off. Now, we're supposed to take our dogs out for a walk so that they get rid of some excess energy. Well, where does the energy come from? The energy comes from the excess food that they eat. And we feed ourselves and our dogs and our cats and our pets and everything. I was feeding my goldfish the other day. In fact, I was feeding them for a long time. And I would take a little tiny half a tablespoon or half a teaspoon of fish food and put it in there for them. And the instructions are, watch your fish. When you put the fish food in, what they don't eat after 5 minutes is too much. And so you watch what they eat, and then you guesstimate what you should put in. So I was putting in that little quarter of a teaspoon of fish food, and it would just float all over the top. And I'd come back an hour later, and it was still floating there. And so I got the message that it was too much. So then I put in just a pinch. And when I put the pinch in, they came right up and they ate the pinch. And they ate it all in 5 minutes. And it was all gone for all seven or eight of the fish in there. And they just were perfectly happy. Now, what happened to the fish food that I fed the fish that they didn't eat? It just eventually settled to the bottom and became scum on the bottom of the pool. Now, are these scavenger fish that go down there and eat? No. They're fish that eat from the top, basically, because they eat from how we feed them. Now, a dog, when you give a dog whatever it says on the bag to give them for whatever his weight is, well, are you satisfied with that? No. You got to give him treats. And then you say, well, he's a big dog, I should give him a big treat. You know, the big dogs take big treats and little dogs get little treats. You know, well, that's still too much, because the treats are compacted with a lot of beneficial foods in them, and they're rich. And it's just like giving cake to a dog, you know, and it's just more than they need. And then when the dog begs at the table, and we are so tempted to give the dog something at the table, well, do they need it? It's us that need it. It's us that want to share. It's us that want to include the dog. If we can learn to, well, for instance, you have someone who's just come home from the hospital, and the doctor says, do not eat any sweets, do not eat this, do not eat this here, eat these beneficial things, but don't eat those other things. Well, mama and sister and brother and daddy all come in, oh, here's some cake for you, here's some this, and here's, and it's not for their diet, it's not for their benefit. And the parents and the family, by their pseudo-love, are killing their child. And it's stupid, but we do it because we're doing it for ourselves. We say how much we would like a piece of cake, or how much we would like this, or how lucky we are when we have our tonsils out because we get to eat a lot of ice cream. And it's not necessarily true. It's just that's the game we play. And the games we play are such silly games because we hurt ourselves more than we help ourselves. If we could realize that pets don't need to go for walks, but taking a pet on a walk is a beneficial thing for you and the pet to bond, for you and the pet to have a good relationship, for you and the pet to train each other, for you to train the pet to walk with you, not to pull, for you to train the pet to realize that you're on a walk together and that you're sharing things together, and the pet doesn't need what a pet needs out in the wild. He doesn't need to go running out in the field and running here and there. We think he does. We say, well, he's a special dog. He's a field dog. And he wants to go running in the field. Well, that's us that want to have him do that. We are perhaps the most indecent teachers that anyone could ever have, because we don't teach for the person we're teaching. We're teaching for ourselves. We're doing everything for ourselves. Is it making us happy when the dog minds? Is it making the dog happy when he minds? He doesn't care. He just wants to be nice to you because he wants your attention. He wants you to approve of him, and so he'll do whatever you say. Now, I'm training Rex to sit at the door when I come into the house, and then after I come in the house, I say, come in. And he sits there. He says, I like this. We're playing a game together. And it's not being put down that he can't come in the house the same time I do or faster than I do. It's just a game. And when he takes it as a game, it's fun for him and fun for me. And sometimes he wants to jump in real quick. No, 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 no. Back out there. Now you sit there. You wait until I say come, you know. And he says, okay, okay. He doesn't have any hang-ups about it. He doesn't have any feelings that I'm being mean to him or that I'm putting him down. You're making me feel just like a dog, you know. Well, you are a dog. And I'm not making you feel like a dog. I am treating you like someone that I really love and care for, and I'm training you to have good manners and to good practices. Well, we think a dog needs to have a walk. Well, the walk is for bonding. The walk is for caring. The walk is not just to have a walk. The walk is for the dog to feel that he's part of the family, to feel he's part of the world that we're living in. And that's a great thing to have. And if we don't do that, then we are not including our dog. Now, how many children go for walks with their parents? Very few. The television is a walk. You all jumped in front of the television set, and you all jumped in front of doing whatever things you want to do. Well, now, is that what you really want to do? Is that how you really want to run your life, by having a gadget control your relationship? If you really care about yourself, you will realize that you're doing everything for your dog. You're taking your dog out for a walk for yourself, because you'd like to get closer to your dog. You're taking your cat out for a walk, if you do, because you want to get closer to your cat. Well, now, you say, the cat doesn't need them. It's a house cat. He always wants to be in the house. No, he doesn't. I've known friends who've had cats that got big as hogs, you know. Just feeding and feeding and feeding. And the cat will eat, because they have nothing else to do. And sometimes a cat won't eat, but a cat will stretch. And a cat will do all sorts of things, you know. But he won't eat. He'll just eat what is necessary for him because he has somehow the gene in him that says only eat what is necessary for you. Now, can we do that for ourselves? Can we like ourselves just because we like ourselves? Can we feed ourselves just because we like to feed ourselves? Can we refrain from eating foods not because they're not good for us or that they're good for us, but we don't need them? We eat them because we enjoy them and we want them. But if we don't need them, then we don't really want to eat them. So we should stop feeding our dog every time we turn around, giving him a treat. My dog gets a good pet and a good hug, and that's as good for him as a lot of treats, you can be sure. Because every time we leave the house in the morning, before we go out the door, he bows to me and says, "Give me a hug." So I give him a hug. Then we go to the gate, and he bows to me again, and he says, "Give me another hug." And I give him a hug. Then we go outside the gate, and he comes back to make sure that I'm following, and he gives me a bow again and says, "Come on, another hug." Now, what are these hugs about? Those are treats. Those are sharing treats. And those are kind of things that we can all do for each other and for ourselves. Now, how often do you hug yourself? How often do you put your arms around yourself and say, "I love you," to yourself? Not very often. And if you did that, just think how well-trained you'd be. You'd be trained to be loved. You'd be trained to be appreciated. You'd be trained. But yeah, start with yourself. That's the place we have to start, with ourselves. And when we start with ourselves, what wonderful, magical things happen. Well, we live in a good world. And we don't need to go for walks, but we do because we don't need to, but we go for walks because we enjoy them. Because we want to be with our pet, which is our husband or wife or our children or our dogs or cats or whatever. And they all take a walk together. Now, that's love. How many families have dogs and cats? And when they take a walk in the evening before bedtime or something, the dogs and the cats all go along on the walk. And the cats don't have a leash and the dogs do, you know. And you think to yourself, well, now, why is it the dogs do? Well, that's just the way you've trained it. If you train a cat to have a leash, the cat will be perfectly happy with the leash. If you don't, the cat will be unhappy with the leash. It's up to us how we are going to treat ourselves and how we're going to treat our world, how we're going to enjoy life and how we're going to enjoy our world. And if you want to enjoy it, just learn to be in charge. No thank you. Two cookies are enough. No thank you. I'll take my cake without ice cream. Or yes, I'll have some ice cream on my cake. Or yes, I'd like another bowl of spaghetti. Or no, I don't really need another bowl of spaghetti. A nice salad would be good, you know. Don't this is what the Italians do. After their spaghetti, then they have their salad. And maybe we should learn something by that. We learn to fill in the holes and the cracks in our tummy with beneficial things like salads and vegetables and fruits and things like that. We live in a wonderful world, and our pets are good trainers and good teachers for us. And they teach us to do all sorts of good things. And when you're done playing, lay down, take a nap. Now, how often do you do that? You sit down, read a book, and take a nap. The book is just a good excuse for sitting down and falling asleep. But that's part of what we do, and that's all that game is just fine, too. But the big thing is, the dogs don't need a walk. You do. The dogs don't need to learn anything. You do. And when I say you do, I'm saying you are the master. You're the master of yourself. You're the master of your dog. You're the master of everything in your world. And so when your dog comes up and begs for a treat, you say, "Oh, you want a hug." Don't say, "I'm not giving you any treats. I gave you enough treats. You'll be fat as a pig if I give you too many treats." That's us talking to us. We haven't got the strength to just say, "Oh, you want a hug? Oh, sure." Name the game that we want to play, not the game that we think they want to play. Oh, every time you smell a cookie jar being opened, you're ready for a cookie, you know. every time Rex hears his cookie jar being opened, he says, "I'm right there." And I can call him and call him and call him, but all I have to do is open the cookie jar and he'll come. Mm-hmm. You know? Now, what is it? What is it? Now, could I give him a hug just as well? Just to take a little tiny tidbit off the cookie, because he doesn't really care, he just wants a taste. He's not making a full meal out of it. He better not. But we sometimes think he does. And we give him handful after handful of cereal or something because we think he needs more. It's just a treat. It's just the caring that we do. That's what makes a difference. Yeah, we live a good life. But we should probably put the leash on us and have the dog take us for a walk. Mm-hmm. And we'd have a much more mannerly walk. Well, have a good morning, and have a good walk, and have a good treat time. Because remember, it's always to ourselves that we're doing it. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.